had some real close friends owned a jewelry store, and Tammy Faye Baker would come in and buy jewelry, and she'd go to pay for it, and they said she would open her purse up, and here is all this money, random bills and everything, just wadded and stuffed into that purse, just like somebody had grabbed it out of a till or something and jammed it in there to haul it off and to make her get away with it. And they would have to sit there and count out enough money to pay for the jewelry. She wouldn't even do that. She just opened the purse and let them dig into it. And they said it looked just like somebody had sat there with a letter opener, opening those letters, just stuffing in as they got it out of the letter, just poking it in the bag. You know what the problem is, don't you? No fear of God before their eyes. That's what it is. They think God's a man like they are. And we might read it sometime, but in fact, I will read it. It's right over here. These things hast thou done, and I kept silence. Thou thoughtest that I was altogether such an one as thyself. But I will reprove thee. I will set them in order before thy eyes. The big man upstairs? No. It don't work like that. Well, let's get into some of this stuff, some interesting things here. And Lord willing, we should have enough time today to get into something the Lord kind of opened my eyes up to a couple months ago, and I was going to do something with it. Maybe he picked today because the people that need it the most aren't here. Did you ever notice that? I mean, here's the message, and it's just perfect for certain people, and they're not there. They're not there. How many times have you had people gripe and complain about something, and here come a message, and where are they? Gone. It's almost like the Lord says, nope, I'm not going to let you in on that. You just stay where you're at because you don't have any desire to change. He that seeketh shall find. Anyway, this is our timeless creator, and today it's going to be on birds and vows. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise thy works to another and shall declare thy mighty acts until just recently. And I really do believe this has destroyed this church age. It's literally destroyed it. Because they've taken God out of everything except the church. God is not in the workplace. God's not in the schools. And when I say they, I don't mean just the atheists. I mean the church has just narrowed its focus down to where if it's not going on inside of these doors, we don't have hardly anything to do with it. Once in a while, we'll go out on a missions trip, but that's all about church. Once in a while, we'll go out and pass out tracts, but that's just about the church. Where's the stuff about all the greatness of God, what his abilities are, his genius, his magnificence, the fact that he made everything that was made? Where is that? We've said this over and over and over. The way the church has treated this situation with God, that the whole thing has just narrowed that focus down to where, if you'll just leave us alone, well, we will stick with this right here. It's almost like that. It's like they're afraid to go out there and confront anybody. And part of the reason is because of education. You know, it used to be somebody with experience could overrule somebody with just pure education and no experience. Not anymore. You got it down now to the point where people are educated that are controlling and running stuff and they have no experience whatsoever and they're making a big old mess out of it. I remember a story about this one guy that owned several mines and his son came up, teenage years, and he thought he was smarter than anybody else on the face of the earth. And he gets to the point where he goes off to college and he gets himself an engineering degree. The engineering degree teaches him all about this mining and all the rest of that stuff and geology and how to dig these holes and shore the stuff up and all the different stratas and the layers and everything else. He's going to come home and run that mine. So he gets there and he's making kind of a nuisance of himself. His dad gets fed up with it. He says, okay, son. He says, you got all this education. Let's see it go to work. You go over there. That mine's yours. You run it any way you want. And so the kid goes over there and he starts. About 6 weeks later, he calls up his dad and he said, Dad, we got this leak over here. We got this water flowing into this lower level of the mine and we haven't been able to get this thing stopped no matter what we do. What should I do? He said, stick your diploma in it. I guarantee you that an old man with experience is smarter than anybody coming out of any college today. And he's more prepared to live the rest of his life, which are just a few years, than that young guy is with his college education and all his youth and inexperience and energy. What's happened is God's just simply been left out of everything and they've been intimidated by education. Well, do you have a degree in this? Do you have a degree in that? What is that? That's somebody else patting you on the back and say, now you're as good as we are. And it's all about that knowledge. Anyway, moving along here. What else have we got? Well, let's look at Genesis 1, 20 to 23, that fifth day of creation. And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and fowl that it may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. And God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw it was good, and God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters and the seas, and let the fowl multiply in the earth. And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. You ever stop to think about what a miracle that is? What genius is involved in creating living creatures that fly? That's pure miracle. I mean, you think great whales, big old blue whales, a tongue as big as an elephant, just their tongue. When God says it's a great whale, it's a great whale. He wasn't kidding. Those things are big. But anyway, he says, here's this creature that hath life, and let it fill up the rest of this area around here in the sky, and let them fly around and multiply, and just fill this place up. Why? Because I like it that way. I enjoy it. You ever watch birds fly? You ever watch them? I love it. There isn't anything more majestic to me than that bald eagle up there soaring around. And God says, I made him just like that on purpose. How come he did that, God? Because I like it. I made it for my pleasure. Don't you understand that when you look at a flower and you see it like all those azaleas blooming, we still got camellias blooming, we got azaleas blooming all over the place out there. You look at that stuff and you say, man, isn't that pretty? Don't you realize? He didn't make it for you to say it was pretty. He made it for himself. He said, I like it. Anyway, let's go back over to Romans here for just a minute. You get to where you start seeing the reality of what God's written here and how it applies immediately to today. And it applied from the time that Paul wrote this stuff down. It applied. It applied before that, actually. But you start to begin to see the clear connection between the Word of God and reality, how life is. Romans 1. Let's start with verse 19 and go to 23. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath shown it unto them. Verse 20, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Did you see what he just said? He said, we're not just talking about glowworms here, and oh, that's fascinating. What are these things supposed to teach us? They're supposed to teach us being clearly seen and understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. This isn't supposed to be just, oh, that's pretty. Well, God's showing you something. And we see through a glass darkly. But when he says, everything I made should be teaching you something because you ought to be able to see it through these things, unless you're blind. And he said, if the blind lead the blind, they both fall in a ditch. What are you, blind guides? How many times has he referred to blindness? How come? You don't see what it says? I thought that was talking about somebody else. That's talking about Christians, too. We ought to be able to understand something about God's eternal power and Godhead through some of these things. And if they don't show you that, then you're missing it. Why are you missing it? Because you're blind. You say, well, I'm not blind. I'm a Christian. We're in here where all this glory of God's being taught. If it doesn't communicate something to you, you are blind. It'd be like sitting right here in this auditorium being blind as a bat, and I'm talking about colors that you've never seen. I had a friend of mine that was blind, Randy Johns. I was talking to him about all kinds of things, and he is real gracious, real pleasant. And all of a sudden, it dawned on me. I said, Randy, you lost your eyes when you were about 3 months old. And I said, colors mean anything to you at all? And he just kind of relaxed, and he said, no. And I felt like a fool. Because I can't understand what he knows, and he's not going to make me feel bad. Well, that's how we are. That's how I've been for some 35 years of my Christian life, nearly, just blind to these things. I don't understand the connection to that directly like it is, and that the heavens declare the glory of God. They're supposed to be talking to me. What do they tell me? Not much. I just look up here and say, man, that's marvelous. It's amazing. That stuff is just staying up there where God puts it. That's what it's doing. He says, You can move around a little bit. We'll give them something to look at when they get that Hubble telescope, but you guys just stay right in that general area. Anyway, verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. You know what evolution is? It's a product of somebody's imagination. And it's a vain imagination on top of that. What's that? I am somebody. I figured this stuff all out. Boy, look at what I'm going to show you, man. Aren't I somebody? That's a vain imagination. And their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And the connection between God's creation and God himself and God's glory and the knowledge of God and the knowledge of the holy, those things are so intertwined and connected that the minute you dropped all of his creation out and just kind of talked about it passively, you lost the connection to God directly. And then it's only indirect. It's just, I'm talking to God. You know, I pray. I pray before I go to bed. I pray in the mornings. You know, I pray when I have a problem. What do you envision when you pray to God? Nothing? I mean, are you just on a telephone to somebody you never saw and you can't envision anything? And it's like somebody at the other end. Matter of fact, sometimes it's just an answer machine. God, hello, your call is very important to us. To leave a message, press 7. Is it like that? Or do you actually envision somebody? Are you praying to somebody? Or is it just kind of like leaving a request? Is it more like sending him a letter or an email? Or when you're talking to him, is there something going on between you and him in your heart? Is there affection connected to it? Or is it just, we just pray. Lord, thank you for this food. Now lay me down to sleep. That kind of stuff. Why? No connection. Well, you can understand clearly when he says they're neither cold nor hot. They're not mad at God, and they're not fervently in love with God. They're just kind of out there in the middle. Anyway, move along here. What about the sparrow? Well, you look over in Luke 2, we're not going to go there, but it talks about the sparrow and talks about you sell a couple of them for a farthing and something like that. And then Luke says you can buy 10 of them for 2 farthings and stuff. Well, they're a pretty inexpensive bird. Back then, they were probably selling them to eat them. It was probably meat. It'd take a lot of those things to fill a plate, wouldn't it? But anyway, here's these sparrows. They're flying all over the place. There's not much to them. They're a simple bird. But every one of those things was made by the Creator. You know how he made them? That bird's got the ability to move a feather, one feather, maybe even just slightly, 1 degree. He can move it up. He can move it down. He can rotate it back and forth. You know what a variable pitch prop is? That's what they got on helicopters. They pull in the collection, and that turns that blade from flat sitting there on the ground to where it starts lifting. So they got variable pitch feathers. Not only do they have variable pitch feathers, they're all independently controlled by what? By the brain God made. So that bird flying around, little wind draft hit it, instant adjustment. Straighten it right up. You ever see them fly through trees? They fly right through those trees. They don't crash into anything. These airplanes don't have the ability to do that kind of stuff. And here's this little old sparrow with the ability to control every feather independently. Something else. Do you know that feather is one of the strongest materials known to man? Weight to strength ratio is stronger than steel. A feather. So here's this thing with the ability to control every feather, and feathers strong enough that it's going to be able to take any kind of punishment that bird's going to get into virtually. You know what they're trying to make these airplanes out of now? They're trying to make them out of carbon fiber. Kind of expensive. You know what they're trying to do? They're trying to get where God was 6,000 years ago. They're trying to get the weight down and the strength up. But you've never seen an airplane lay an egg to produce another airplane. And you're not going to either. If they lay an egg, it won't be to hatch out another airplane. It'll be making some kind of a mess. Their bones. They take airplanes and they punch big holes in all their struts. Lighten them up. Birds' bones, air pockets in them, holes in them, porous. They say that birds came from reptiles and that the feathers are scales that evolved. Not even close. Not even close. Not only that, the bone structure doesn't match in any of them. Well, how do you get from here to here? Look, just because an architect builds this house looking like this and this house looking like this and this one looking like this, and they all have bathrooms and they all have kitchens, don't mean one evolved from the next. Don't you understand that somebody that designs something, they have a personality about them? And that a lot of their stuff kind of looks like the other stuff? You take the difference between Rembrandt and Van Gogh. Man, you can spot that stuff a mile away. Which one? Either one. You can tell them by just a glance. You say, well, that looks like so-and-so. That looks like so-and-so. Well, God's making the stuff. He's making it the way he wants it. He's making it with structure. He's making it with design. What is the bones? That's the airframe. That's the structure inside of it, the supports. Not only that, you've got a digestive system that's super efficient. Not at all like yours. Totally different than anything else. How come? Cut down on that weight. What's it do? It processes that food as fast as it can, gets it right on through that bird and gets rid of the waste and takes the energy out of it. Cut down the weight. Keeps on going. That stuff is not by accident. If anybody can think that that stuff actually evolved, they've lost their mind. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools in the imaginations of their heart. Well, that's like a scale. That's in your imagination, it's like a scale. But that's not reality. These things are so far from what's really happening in life, it's just amazing. And Christians are intimidated by somebody that comes along and talks like that because that guy's got a PhD. Well, I got a BA and I got an MA and I got a PhD. BA, bunch of applesauce. MA, more applesauce. PhD, piled higher and deeper. You say, where'd you hear that? From a PhD that talked just like I'm talking. How come? Because he knew. He knows what that stuff is. You go through the thing and pretty soon you realize, well, I like feeling like I'm somebody and they all recognize I'm somebody. But the simple matter of fact is those guys are accolades toward each other. Now you've learned everything and you've actually gone out on your own and written a book or two. You know, you've done these theses and these studies. Now you're one of us. Anything that doesn't draw you to God is drawing you away from him. I mean, anything. You go into that school and you get educated, and if that stuff doesn't bring back to where it started with the wisdom of God and the intellect of God and the genius of God and how he made all of this stuff, all it's doing is messing you up. And I don't mean short term, I mean for eternity. If you think it's hard for a rich man to get into the kingdom of heaven, what do you think about somebody with all of that education? Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and their foolish heart was darkened. This cause, God turned them over to a reprobate mind. And you get turned over to a reprobate mind, you realize you got very little hope left. You think that's going on today? Well, only by the millions. You're better off with no education, man. You say, oh, I can't believe you said that, you know. Let me ask you, is it better not to be educated or to be educated the wrong way? I'm going to teach you how to cook. Everything I'm going to teach you is wrong, but you're going to get an education. You're better off not to know anything than to be led the wrong direction first and then try to have to recover from that. There are people right now that if you start talking to them, and I got names in mind, you couldn't possibly reach them. There's not a thing you could tell them that'd reach them. I don't care what you say to them. They are totally blind, just like talking about color to a blind man. You start talking about this design, oh, it's all evolved. You get done. You didn't touch them. You didn't reach them. Nothing happened. They just go away the same way they came. Gone. Anyway, moving along. They got a brooding spot on the front of birds. You say, what's that? Little spot underneath them where the feathers start coming off when they're about to have eggs. They build that nest. Feathers come off. They use feathers to line the nest. That little area of skin also starts producing blood vessels. 7 times as many as normal and 5 times larger. What's that for? Wants to warm up the egg and to keep it warm so that it goes through the hatching process, kind of like do all the chickens in those incubators with the light bulbs under them, thermostats trying to hatch them all out, except this one God made. And there's some kind of connection and communication between the bottom of that bird and his brain that says, these eggs are getting a little too warm, you better cool them off. These eggs are getting a little bit cold, you better warm them up. And that bird knows exactly what to do. Did it go to incubating school? Did it go to hatching out school? Listen, that bird might have had to learn a little bit about how to fly. And it didn't take them long because there'd have been a whole lot of them been cat food if they didn't. It didn't take them long to learn how to fly. You know how long it takes for you to learn how to fly? I mean, with all the education you can get, and you go out there the first time, and I speak from personal experience, you get out there, your instructor gets out and says, okay, take a turn around. And I can tell you, quite honestly, you can take off and you can get that thing up in the air. You just go through the routine of taking off, do all your checks and take off. About the time you get up about 500-600 feet, you look around, there ain't nobody to help you down. You are by yourself. And if you don't get it right the first time, that may be the last time you ever fly. You only get one chance. Well, somebody taught those things how to fly. Somebody taught them something. How'd they know about laying eggs and building nests? It was an accident. Yeah, right. Their foolish imagination. That's where it's at. Anyway, so they lay eggs. How come? Reduce the weight. That's genius in design. That brings up this thing called irreductible complexity. You say, what's irreductible complexity? Basically defined, it's a single system composed of several interacting parts that contribute to basic function, where removal of any one of the parts causes the system to effectively cease. You get the wrong kind of bones, you don't fly, bird. You got the wrong kind of feathers, you don't fly, bird. Your heart stops, you don't fly, bird. You don't have to be a bird for that to happen. That's what that is. That is irreducible complexity. So that one piece, everything fails. Now, how are you going to evolve something into that? You got to have every piece there all at once for the thing to work. And if it's not there, it don't work. That is design. You know, everything that we see men made, it's designed. These pews were designed. This carpet was designed. The building is designed. Everything we see is designed, except the stuff is so much more complex than anything we built, it got here by accident. And not only that, it got here as a result of a massive flaming explosion called the Big Bang. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. How many? Billions on this earth today. Billions. Why? They've been educated into it. This stuff didn't happen 2,000 years ago. What happened? The last days, knowledge shall be increased. That's what happened. And that was what Adam and Eve were looking for, and it got them in trouble. And God says, yep, you're fixing the hedge of some real trouble. Because at the end of this thing, except these days be shortened, there should be no flesh left on the earth. It's going to be a bad situation. I don't know if you know anything about penguin eggs, but penguin eggs are a real marvel. Penguins will lay eggs. You know where they incubate them? On top of their feet, covered over with a part of their flesh with the feathers on it, and they keep that thing up off of the snow and the ice down in the Antarctic and protect it. If the bird goes asleep, egg rolls off and dies. How do you evolve that? Do you realize all the complex parts that have to be right there at the right time to get that thing to work? It's nuts. What came first, the chicken or the egg? God, that's who came first. And he was always here. Well, I don't understand that. It had to be something else, fool. Anyway, you ever heard of a red-shouldered hawk? We got a lot of them around here. They fly around up there looking for rodents and little critters and stuff like that. I was watching one the other day. It flew over us closer than the top of the ceiling here. It flew around me like this at the park, and it went right over between the trees and right through a bunch of tree limbs. You know what that rascal did? He could have very easily just gone over it. No problem. He didn't bother going over it. What'd he do? He come flying up through it. His wings are about this wide. The hole's about that wide. Why do you think God sent him by? So you guys would hear this. And that bird comes up like this, and he turns right at the last second to match the opening hole design, and he goes, whoosh, pulls his wings in, pops them out on the other side. I'd like to see you do that with an F-18. The stuff is absolute pure genius. You know, you got to have certain lubricants and all the rest of those fluids and electronic systems and everything else in there. You got to have a fuel supply. You got to have somebody to control it. Basically, a man's brain. It's the guy. You know, I don't care if the guy's flying one of these remote control things. He's still flying it. But God put all that in one bird. We talked about some birds that have flown a long distance. The record holder, though, is the bar-tailed godwit. That bird has got the longest flight of any land bird. That thing flies from northern Alaska to southeastern Australia nonstop, 9,000 miles. Sometimes they'll make stops along the way, but that's only sometimes. Sometimes they'll run down to New Zealand first and then on over to Australia. 7,200 miles the short way. How in the world did that guy come up with that navigation? Who built that? Oh, it's just another accident. You know, a toad frog climbed out and grew feathers. You realize in your mind when I start talking like this just how stupid it is. You know how stupid God thinks it is? Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And that's what he says about them. That's an 8-day trip, flying 24 hours a day between 35 and 40 miles an hour, nonstop. That takes a miracle of design to do that. Who did it? The same one that made you, and you're worth a whole lot more than they are. And he never said about that sparrow or about a great whale or anything else we've talked about. He never said that they were fearfully and wonderfully made. How about that? The genius of your creation and the purpose for you exceeds your capacity to grasp it. Ain't that something? One guy says, man, you understand all that Bible? He said, no. Well, doesn't that bother you? No. Why? Because I'd know that if I understood everything in that Bible, somebody no smarter than me could write it. Well, that's the way we are. Let's close in prayer.